About a month ago, I was going on a run through our neighborhood, and I got a text on my watch asking if this was Nathan. And I reluctantly replied yes, not knowing who this was and not knowing what it was about. And it's always a risky thing because, yeah, it's just risky. But the guy responded that he said his name, and he said, I bought your truck from you a long time ago, and it's finally fixed up. So you can look on the screen here, and this was the truck that I grew up in. My mom would drive me and my brother to school in that truck. When my brother got older, he's a few years older than me, he started driving it all throughout high school, and then I drove it a little after, or when I got my license, I started to drive it before we sold it off. And this is as you can see, it's a really unique truck. There are only a couple thousand of those ever made, and it's a factory-made convertible pickup truck. I've only seen one other one in my life, but this guy bought it from me, and he texted me saying it's at its first car show in Plattsmouth, Nebraska, and he had no idea where I lived or anything like that, and I told him I'll be there that night, so I got to meet the guy who bought this truck from our family and kind of see what he did to it and all of the repairs, all the things he fixed on it. It was covered in rust when I sold it to him. It was dying, and the engine was bad when I sold it to him, and he did all of these different things to make the truck look substantially better than I ever remember it being. And it got me thinking that so much of the way that we live our lives as people is a very giving way. But when it comes to the way that we give, it's mostly to ourselves and to our possessions rather than the kingdom of God. If you've been around the church for a little bit, and as they said earlier, we are doing this 40-day challenge called the Red Letter Challenge. And in this challenge, we are spending 40 days going over the words that Jesus said in the Bible that are marked by red letters in the second half of the Bible. And throughout this Red Letter Challenge, we have been breaking it down into five different categories. The first category is being and how we're supposed to be in a relationship with Jesus. And if we're not first being with God, we're going to have a very difficult time of fulfilling the challenge for the rest of the 5 weeks that we are going through. The next week was forgiving, and it was all about remembering the forgiveness that God gave us for our sins, but also the challenge of forgiving those who have wronged us in our life. Last week, Ryan talked about serving, but specifically about servanthood and how Jesus came to this earth in the form of a servant to serve rather than to be served. He gave us the challenge to kind of go out and continue to serve those who are around us. I find it really interesting that right after serving comes giving, and that is often used in our lives interchangeably. We think that if we serve a lot to the church and we spend a lot of time giving to the church or giving to the community, then we can keep all of our money in our pocket and not have to actually give. When it comes to giving, if we choose to give more and choose to give generously, then maybe we don't have to serve and give our time in that realm. The main goal that I want to give today is the big idea is our God gives generously, so we should give generously. Our God gives generously, so we should give generously. Out of all the principles that we talk about in the Red Letter Challenge and that we've talked about so much, this is the one that Jesus brings up the most frequently. To truly follow Jesus means that you are a giving person. He talked about this more than he talked about love, more than he talked about heaven, more than he talked about hell, and he talked about this more than anything except for the kingdom of God in itself. So why did he talk about this so much? Why did he talk about money? Why did he talk about giving so much? I believe that when it comes to this topic, he knew that we desperately need wisdom when it comes to our finances and when it comes to managing our money. When you look at our culture and when you look at society and even our lives as people in the church, we have a lot of difficulties when it comes to money. Many of us are living paycheck to paycheck. We're drowning in student loan debts or car payments or whatever it be. We have all of the stress when it comes to money. You see it so much in our culture. Having monthly payments is normal. Having debt is normal. Having worry, having anxiety, having fear when it comes to our finances, especially in the economy that we live in, it's a normal frustration. In our marriages, in our family, it's a touching point for fights and for arguments when it comes on how we're going to manage it, and we don't even get to the conversation of how we're even going to give it in that moment. having little margin in our life when it comes to our finances is a normal in our culture. I believe as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be set apart in our lives in the way that we operate in it. And I believe that's included when it comes to our finances in the way that we manage our money. We should be set apart and we should look differently, especially in a world where we know that the normal when it comes to managing money is not working well. I looked up a bunch of statistics. You can fact check this on LendingTree.com or Google. More than half of Americans donated to charity in 2021. So in other words, 56% of people in America donated to charity in 2021. And by charity, I mean any nonprofit organization or church, not just the church and not just charity, but combined in one. The total amount that people gave in 2021 for those who did give was $574 throughout the total year. Special shout out to any baby boomer in here. You guys surpassed any other generation on the amount of you guys that gave, and you guys came to a total amount of 60% of baby boomers gave in the year of 2021. On the flip side, if you're a millennial like me, we get the privilege of being the number one most giving in percentage-wise, or most giving in dollar amount in the year of 2021, and we gave a total of $637 in the year of 2021. So millennials give the largest dollar amount. So Lifeway did a poll of millennial Christians to see how much they gave to nonprofit and churches in the year of 2021, and it came out to $1,820 over the course of the year, which is three times more than non-Christians. So basically, the highest generation of giving, the highest amount that they gave, if they were a Christian, they gave $1,820. If you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard the terminology of tithing, which is basically 10% of your first fruits as well, how the Old Testament defines it. So in other words, 10% of your first fruits would be 10% of your money before the government takes out taxes. So if you have a salary of $50,000 a year, 10% of that is $5,000. If you have $100,000 a year, it's $10,000. If you have $20,000 a year, it's $2,000. Everybody tracking with that so far? If you don't believe me on that, you can, again, fact check this on Lifeway and Google. All of this stuff is out there. In other words, if as Christians we're called to be generous and 10% is considered a tithe of offering, the average Christian made $18,200 in the year of 2021. $18,000. We have a long ways to go when it comes to the way that we steward our money and the way that we glorify God with it. Everything that we've been given in our lives is a gift from God, and we are called to steward it and honor it. So giving 10% is nothing when it's all God's to begin with. I'm not going to talk much about the legalistic of giving 10% of giving to charitable causes or the church, but what we're talking about today is the importance and the significance of giving when we call ourselves followers of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, which is going to be the main passage that we're in, if you want to turn there, you can go ahead and do so now. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, it says, "Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal." In verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In our lives, the things that we spend money on so much are outdated and will eventually break down and get old. If we get the newest phone when it comes out, a year later, it's going to be outdated and not near the value that it once was. When it comes to cars, if you've been in the Nebraska area at all in your life, you will notice that they will eventually become very, very rusted. If you don't believe me on that, go outside and look at my Buick and you'll see all the tape of where I covered up the rust so it wouldn't continue on. Our cars get old, they break down, our clothes eventually wear out or we grow out of them or they rip or whatever it is, but we continue to choose to invest our money in our stuff rather than investing it in the kingdom of God. At first, these three verses can be a real negative thing because every single one of us in the room, I believe, stores up some treasures here on earth, or we spend some money on ourselves and our things, and that's not necessarily bad. But I believe this is a positive thing because God wants us to do more with our money than we've ever imagined. God wants us to do more with our giving rather than giving ourselves. He wants it to have a lasting purpose that goes beyond our years on this earth and goes beyond the generations in our family, but lasts for all of eternity. When it comes to our eternal life, we don't get to bring a U-Haul with all of our stuff, but when it comes to the way that we're giving, if we choose to invest in the kingdom of God, we're going to have the highest return on our investment rather than investing on anything here in this earth, whether it's a bad thing or a good thing. Instead of giving the traditional points that I would typically give in this sermon, I want to give a couple of questions and things to evaluate your life in the way that you spend your money. So I believe that if you choose to take these seriously and you go throughout the week and you dwell on these and actually take them seriously, you'll realize how much more in your life that in any single one of us in this room can be more generous and more giving, myself included. The first question I have is, what do you treasure? What do you treasure? Jesus taught us that where our heart truly belongs is in what it most treasures. If we choose to follow God, if we choose to love God, it says we are supposed to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, a love for material possessions and riches is a form of idolatry, and we're putting that above God himself. In verse 22 and 23, it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? I have a study Bible that I often look from, and in that study Bible it says this: a good eye represents a giving attitude, and a bad eye represents a selfish attitude. In other words, a bad eye is an improper perspective on wealth, which results in deep internal darkness, a moral blindness that diminishes the ability to see and pursue what is good. When I look back on this truck and the privilege to see it, and this is not anything negative about the guy that bought the truck, so don't hear that. I don't know him very well. I don't know how generous and giving he is. I don't know anything about that, but I think it's a good example for my own life, and I believe the lives of all of us, on how generous we are to our stuff. When I had that truck and when I sold it, it was really beat up. It was covered in rust. The soft top had a bunch of holes in it, which if it would rain, water would get inside the truck. There was a back window that was made out of plastic that was covered in packing tape because I might have shoved my guitar case on the way to jazz band through it 3 or 4 times. There was a lot of things wrong with it. The engine was old, and when I got there, I saw that he fixed all of the rust. He fixed all the cracks in the dash. He repainted the entire thing. He put a new engine in it. He said something cool about what it was, but all I heard was he put a new engine in it, because I don't go to car shows and I don't know anything about vehicles. And that was probably the only time you'll ever see me at a car show, if you're there. But he put all of this stuff in it. And when I looked at the odometer, he barely put any miles on the vehicle in the 11 years of ownership that he has. How much do we put into our stuff to build our own kingdom here on this earth rather than investing in the kingdom of God? We put in our money in things that don't matter, even though they do bring us joy, and even though they're not necessarily bad things. And I'm not saying if you ever repurpose a truck, you're a sinful person and you're not giving at all. So don't hear that from me. I did not say that. But what I'm saying is if we reevaluate our lives, we can see how much more we can invest in God's kingdom. Are you giving to the kingdom of God, or are you giving to your own kingdom here on this earth? In verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, because it produces greed that comes behind it. So much in our lives, we are never satisfied with the very gifts that God has given us. The second question that I have is, does your credit card statement show you follow Jesus? In other words, if somebody were to look at the way that you spend your money, does it even reflect that you follow Jesus? I believe as followers of Jesus, we should be living a life that's set apart from those who are around us. And I think one of the ways to know that is if our money and the way that we spend it reflects that we even follow Jesus in the first place. Just because everybody else on this earth is building their kingdom here doesn't mean that as followers of Jesus, we should do the same. I'm not against nice things. I'm not against having possessions and spending money on the things that bring you joy. But what I'm saying is, if you can't truly go all in for God because you can't trust him with your money, if you aren't a regular giver, you're going to be challenged throughout this red letter challenge this week to regularly give to the church and to regularly give to the community. And if we're following Jesus, we should be looking to see in our lives how giving can we be to those that are around us and to the kingdom of God. The third thing that I want you guys to do is I want you to take some time to pray over your budget and ask God how you can be more giving. For some of you, that might mean you need to start a budget. And it can be a very encouraging thing to see after you figure out where all of your money is going in a month. It'll help you realize that you probably actually have more margin in your life to be giving than you thought you did in the first place. I believe that you should be giving the first fruits of the kingdom of God, but I also believe that you should be reevaluating your finances constantly to see how giving and generous you can be to God's kingdom. Because the things that we buy with our money here on this earth are only going to last during our time here on earth. But it's not things that we can bring to the kingdom of God. And when we put toward the mission of God's kingdom, we get to see the fruit that comes from that for all of eternity. I would encourage you to pray over your budget to evaluate your life and to see where God stirs your heart in the way that you can give. I would encourage you to give to a mission that you believe advances the kingdom of God. And lastly, if you believe and you're excited about what's going on at the church, consider giving. You know, a lot of you know that we have a building campaign where we're going to be expanding to our building where we have a safe place for all children to meet in a secured area, and we have a bigger lobby where we can have more fellowship and have the opportunity to greet and have conversations with people as they walk in the door. I'm challenging you to give in ways that go beyond what you thought you ever could. And ultimately, if you're choosing to be in relationship with God first, that comes before any of this. If you're in relationship with God on a regular moment, you'll be able to see and he will be able to show you ways that you can be giving to the people that surrounds you into the kingdom of God. I believe that this example of this truck is a great like physical analogy of what God has done for us. When you think about like a vehicle and when it first comes off, it's new, it's shiny, everybody loves it, and it's perfect and flawless, just like when God created everything. At the beginning of time, before we ever existed, God created man, and there was all goodness in the garden. It was all without flaw, it was all perfect. But then the moment that we chose to be selfish, the moment we chose to live our lives for ourselves, we began to be separated from God and sent into this world. In other words, it's like a brand new truck that got destroyed by rust and all the things in the world, and it begins to deteriorate. But because God loved us so much that he came to this earth in the form of Jesus as a servant, serving man, not looking to be served by man, and God gave up his son to die on the cross for us, being more giving than we ever will be, rose him from the dead to give us eternal life with him for all of eternity, restoring us back to the way we once were. See, we get the opportunity to be giving people because God was first giving to us. And I can't think of a better way to be a follower of Jesus than to be transformed in the very image of Jesus. And if we're following all of these things in the red letter challenge, we're following what the scripture says, we're in the word of God, and we're actually doing what it says, we're going to become more and more like Jesus. And I can't think of a better goal to have while we spend our time on this earth to be more like Jesus. I was in life group last week. If you're not in a life group, I would encourage you to do so. That's my plug for life group. But somebody was in my life group. They're fairly new to this church, and they moved from South Dakota. And they were talking about this time at their church in South Dakota where they wrote all their needs on this piece of paper in the lobby of some things that people were going through to get prayer for. And somebody said that they really needed a vehicle. That they just didn't have the finances to get one. Somebody in the military saw that on the wall. This person just recently bought their dream truck. They spent a lot of money on it, and they bought this truck. They had it for a couple weeks or so. They saw that need on there, and they immediately went and sold their truck. They sold their truck, and they bought two Ford Focuses, and they kept one of them for themselves so they could have a vehicle to drive, and they gave another one to this person in need. I think that's a great example of what it means to be a giving person. If you're following Jesus, it should look like that in your life. If you're following Jesus, if you're spending in relationship with him, it should look like he has control over your finances, that you're not looking for your security in the amount of money that's in your bank account or the amount of stuff you have. You're looking for your security in Jesus, and you're looking for ways to bless people along the road, and you're looking for ways to build the kingdom of God. So much in our lives, we forget and we lose sight of how giving we can be. We spend so much money on ourselves. Not necessarily that that's bad if you spend money on your possessions, if you buy the newest thing or things like that. It's okay to do that, but what I'm saying is we need to look for ways to be generous in our life. We need to look for ways to be giving in our lives. For some of us, that's going to look like giving way more than 10% because God has blessed us with a lot of finances. For others, it's going to be hard and we maybe have never done this before and we can start somewhere. We need to look for ways to be giving because before anything in our lives, God gave to us. The final challenge that I want to give you is to give in a way that reflects the faith that you proclaim. Give in a way that reflects the faith that you proclaim. If you're truly following Jesus, I believe that you should be a forgiving person. I believe you should be a serving person, a giving person. I believe you should be a going person, which we're going to learn next week. These are all these things that Jesus has said in the red letters of scriptures that he calls us to. And if we're truly living out our faith, we should be reflecting that in our lifestyle so that people may see that are surrounding us and come to know God. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for the opportunity to spend a moment to really be 40 days in challenging of living out our faith. It's easy to go to church and go through the motions of life, to go day by day where we might read the scripture, but we never actually put it into practice. It might be easy to go to work, to go to our schools, to go to our jobs, and nobody really actually know that we serve you and follow you. Our lives should be set apart to glorify you, and I pray that anybody in this room that hasn't chosen to follow you, that they would begin to choose that. So that they would begin to choose to accept the gift that you have given us for all of eternity, where we can be with you forever. And I pray for everybody who's already accepted that, who calls themselves Christians, that we would be able to go out and actually live out our lives that way. That we would stop just going to church, we would stop just going and reading our Bibles, but we'd also go out and do what you have called us to do. That we would be doers of the word, not just hearers, like it says in the book of James. God, I pray that we glorify you with all that we have, and you make us a giving person. And I say this in your name, amen.